Ezekiel in chapter 10. And as we've been going through this 10th chapter, we began a point that we called the directions of His wrath. The directions of His wrath. And consider the fact that God Almighty, the one who thundereth when He speaketh, here He is thundering, He is speaking in wrath to the city of Jerusalem, Judea, and all of Israel. Last week we got down to the second point under this point, and that is where we'll begin tonight. And this is the one that He employs to carry out this wrath. The one He employs to carry out this particular wrath, which is the wrath of the city being burnt with fire. Look with me tonight at verse 2 and verses 6 and 7, because those verses deal with the one whom He employed. And He spake unto the man, clothed with linen. The man clothed with linen. Remember him? In the 9th chapter? He was the one that was employed to mark those for salvation. But here we see He is appointed to employ His wrath, to minister His wrath. And said, go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubims, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. In verse 6, and it came to pass that when he had commanded the man clothed with linen, saying, take fire from between the wheels, from between the cherubims, then he went in and stood beside the wheels. And one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubims unto the fire that was between the cherubims, and took thereof, and put it into the hands of him that was clothed with linen, who took it and went out. Now, you can just imagine, what would happen if God employed one to do such a thing today? Grab coals of fire and scatter it across the whole city or the whole nation. What do you think those hot coals of fire would do? They'd burn up everything it fell on, wouldn't it? They'd burn up everything it fell on. So we're talking about God's wrath of destruction, consuming fire. The man whose job it was the one clothed in linen. As we've already mentioned, the one who was picked, had the writer's inkhorn, and was to take that pen, the right stick with him, and he was to mark in the foreheads all those that were saved from wrath. Here is the administer of that wrath under the providence of Almighty God. Now, he that sits on the throne, God, and what we've been looking at, the glory of God, the one sitting on the throne, as is pictured by being over the threshold, remember, he moved from between the cherubim, and he moved to over the threshold, and he it is that commanded the man clothed in linen to take coals of fire in his hand from between the wheels and scattered them over the city. There are three or four things that this suggests to us that we want to look at tonight, probably as far as we'll get tonight, for time's sake. But first of all, it suggests to us that this destruction had been before determined, and the execution of it was only the accomplishing of that which had been determined beforehand. God has all things determined before the foundation of the world. What's that mean in terms of before the foundation of the world? What's that mean? That means before He created the heavens and the earth. And what was before that? God. God is what? God is eternal.
Amen.
So we're talking about in eternity. How long is eternity? No beginning, no end. So these things were ordained before the foundation of the world. They were ordained in eternity. They had no beginning, they have only an accomplishment in the eternal purposes of God, we see. So, turn with me first of all to see where this was determined beforehand. To the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 28, of course this was just since creation, but He made His will known to Israel, to Judah. He made His will known. Look with me at the 28th chapter. And verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2 of the 28th chapter. Make sure I've got it right. Nope, I've got check. There's 28. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently. If thou shalt hearken diligently. What does that mean? That means be diligent in obedience. Not just hearing. Many times we hear from the Scriptures, hear from the man of God what we should do, but do we hearken? Do we hear and obey? See, hearken always carries with it, hear and obey. And be diligent to do that. Hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. You see, for obedience, what did God promise? He promised that they would be blessed. And that they would be blessed beyond measure. To the point you couldn't count it. We experience that today to some degree, don't we? We're blessed and we have blessings which are innumerable. As long as we obey His commandments, as long as we hearken to His word. Now look at verse 15. Verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments, and His statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And he begins to pronounce all the curses. From verse 2 down to verse 15, he pronounced all the blessings that were going to come upon them for their obedience. But now for disobedience, here is the cursings that are going to come upon you. And just to keep this short, look with me now at verse 49. Verse 49. Let's read verse 48 also. Therefore, shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, and until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. A foreign country, a foreign nation is going to come upon you and take you over. And it's going to be a vicious country. One that's not going to care for whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you're feeble or whether you're strong. You're going to be destroyed. A nation of fierce countenance. See? A fierce countenance. Which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. You have been with us enough in these studies through the Old Testament, and we see some of the old ways and the old conquerors, and history bears out old conquerors. What did they do? They were ferocious. They went in and they destroyed everything, and they took other spoils. Which is what we find being told about in the book of Ezekiel. The previous chapters that we've looked at. And now we find the city going to be destroyed by fire. Turn with me to the 32nd chapter. The 32nd chapter. And verse 15. And we'll read verses 15 to 25. But Jeshurun waxed fat. That's Israel. That's Israel. Israel waxed fat. And kicked. Thou art waxing fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. See, God was their Savior. God was the one who saved them from the Egyptians, brought them out of Egypt into a land flowing with milk and honey. But they forsook him. They forsook him. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations. Provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. That causes me to think of the passage in Genesis chapter 6. And every imagination of their heart was only evil continually. And that statement is not made just in Genesis chapter 6, but it was made after the flood, and it's been made a time or two since then. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed me. And when the Lord saw it, He abhorred them because of the provoking of His sons and of His daughters. Anyone here believe that God's a God of love and only? Anyone here that believe God only loves? God doesn't hate? It just said He abhorred them. Abhorred them. He hated them. He despised them. They were a stench in His nostrils. And He said, I will hide My face from them. I will see what therein shall be. For they are a very froward generation. Children in whom is no faith. They have moved Me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked Me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. A nation that knows not God. For a fire is kindled in Mine anger and shall burn unto the fewest, unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. What are we reading about in Ezekiel? What is the man clothed in the linen supposed to do? He's supposed to reach his hand in between the cherubim, in between the wheels, and he's supposed to get handful of coals of fire, and he's to scatter it over all the land to burn them up. That's the fierceness of God's anger being poured out on them for the very thing that He warned them against. The very thing that they did. Look with me now back to the book of Ezekiel. Back to the book of Ezekiel. We've read of this a couple of times in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 4. Ezekiel chapter 4, and we look here at verses 1 through 3. Thou also, son of man, this is instructions to Ezekiel, remember? Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile, and lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem, and lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast a mount against it. Set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. Remember studying about that? This was a sign to the house of Israel of a coming army that was going to lay siege and destruction to the city. They were going to lay them in siege for how long? Well, at least 390 days over the period of a year. 13 months. They were going to lay them siege. What was that going to do to their food and their water supply? It was going to exhaust it. Which was pictured by the next thing that Ezekiel was commanded to do. Remember, he was to make some loaves of bread, and the meal that he was to use to make those loaves of bread was stuff that they fed to animals and livestock. They didn't use it in their normal cooking. And so forth. And he's just to eat one of those a day. And measured water into a glass, but not a full glass of water. And that was all the water that he got for the day. It was a picture, it was a sign to Israel of how limited the water supply would become and how limited the food supply would become. They would be rationing out food made with that which they give to livestock. And there would be many who would perish because there was so little to eat and to drink. You see, because of their disobedience. Their disobedience against God. In chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, we have some more illustrations here. Remember, he was to set his face toward the mountains? He was to holler out. What was he to say to the mountains? Verse 3. Ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and to the valleys. Behold, I, even I, will bring a sword on you, and I will destroy your high places. You see, the word was to sound out to all of Israel. There was not a place in Israel that the word was not to sound out that God was bringing destruction upon them. Verse 4. And your altars shall be desolate, and your images shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols, and I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols. And I will scatter your bones round about your altars. In all your dwelling places, the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, and your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and cease, and your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. You see, their cities were going to be destroyed. Along with them, Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. Chapter 8 was the most recent that we looked at after the Lord took him in the Spirit to the city and showed him all the great abominations that dwelt in the house of the Lord and in the court of the Lord and in the land. He closed chapter 8 with these words in verse 18. Therefore will I also deal in fury. We already seen back in Deuteronomy the fury of the Lord, consuming with fire. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Even though they cry out in their perishing, I will not hear them. Listen, the fire of divine wrath is the second thing that this suggests to us. The fire of divine wrath is God's judgment upon a people. And it is just and holy. You see, some people think that God wouldn't do such a thing. God is a loving God. God is a God who is just and holy. He would not do that. You see, because He's just and holy, He will do that. Because sin cannot dwell in His presence. He cannot stand to look upon sin. He hates sin. He hates the workers of iniquity. As this is pictured in fetching it from between the cherubim. From between the cherubim. The cherubim were holy cherubim. You see? And He's to fetch that fire from between the cherubim. From that which is holy. He was to get the fire to destroy the city. A picture of God's justice and holiness and anger and wrath. Consuming fire. You see, it proceeds. God's wrath proceeds from Him who is just and holy. It comes from Him. And He is just and holy. And all that He does is just and holy. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 29, let's read 28 and 29. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom, we are the saved. He's talking to saved Hebrews, saved Israelites. And his intent through this is to show them that they have something so much better in Jesus Christ than they do in returning to the old. You see. He says, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. You see, in this chapter, the 12th chapter, he's talked about God being a God of discipline, a God who chastises those whom He loves. And he admonishes us to follow after holiness and peace. And so He tells us, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And godly fear. Because we fear God. We stand in awe of God and we fear Him and we know that He is a God of wrath and that He will deal with us in chastisement and in scourging if we are disobedient. For our God is a consuming fire. You see, we know that. We know that about God. We have the examples in the Old Testament that He is. We see saints today who God has to deal with in chastisement and in scourging. And some who will not repent because they're of no good to Him anymore, He takes them home. He takes them home. And I've cited examples that I know of that happening in the past as well. And God forbid that I should be one, you see. But God is a consuming fire. He told Israel that. Back in the early days, before they even went into the land, and remember that these things, these writings of Moses, the law, which is referred to the five books of Moses, referring to the law and the prophets. The law is the five books of Moses, and these things they read in their hearing, and they read to their children. They knew these things in Deuteronomy chapter 9 and in verse 3, where we read, understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is He which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them and He shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly as the Lord has said unto them. He says here, because He is a consuming fire, He's going to drive out of the land before them their enemies because He's a God of consuming fire. And they witness that. They witness God driving them out as a consuming fire. I watched a video. Maybe I'll share it with you Sunday morning in Sunday school. I don't know yet.
of the walls of Jericho and how they would have been constructed. It would have been constructed out of stone up to yay high. I think it was 20 feet high. And then above that, they built another wall on top of that, reaching up higher. And the point was, is then Rahab and her family's houses were built on the ground and up along that stone wall to a height above the city, which it referred to there. But just think about that. And you see that construction, what it would have been made of, and you think about the children of Israel circling around the city, Jericho, and marching around it 7 days, and then blowing the trumpets, and the walls just fell down, come crashing down, and destroyed everything, and except for a little section, a wall, where Rahab's house and her family's houses were. A little section, but all the rest of the wall went crashing to the ground. God's consuming fire, you see. He can bring down those fortified walls of those fortified cities. We read also in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in chapter 18. Psalms 18 and verse 8. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth, devoured. Coals were kindled by it. You see, God's pictured here is smoke and fire coming out of his nostrils. And coals of fire being lit by it. In the 79th chapter of the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 79. And verse 5. We read, "How long, Lord, wilt thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire?" God's a jealous God. And He'll not tolerate any other gods before Him. And we said over and over again, and you know it to be true, we ourselves can become a god. Someone else can become a god. Anything that we put before God is our god. You see. Turn with me to the 89th chapter. The 89th chapter in verse 46. "How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire?" Oh, Israel had provoked him to wrath. And now, they're going to experience his wrath of fire upon their land, upon their city. Listen, because he is just and holy, we that are saved, we that are saved shall not suffer the wrath of God, because he is just and holy. Will not have to. Listen, all those who are in Christ Jesus will not suffer the wrath of God, but all those who are outside of Christ Jesus shall suffer the wrath of God. And burning as a fire, the wrath of God. You see, we've been redeemed. We that are in Christ, we've been redeemed and have received the atonement. Turn with me to the book of Romans. The book of Romans in chapter 3. And look what we read in verses 24 and 25, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. See, we've been redeemed in Christ Jesus. In Him we've been redeemed. Whom God has set forth, Christ Jesus, to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. We've been redeemed. We have the forgiveness of sin. The atonement has been made. Chapter 5 of Romans, chapter 5, in verses 9 through 11, we read, to go back up here to 8 through 11. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise God. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we have joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. By His shed blood, He paid the ransom. Our sins have been atoned for in the person of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 18 and 19. For Christ also has suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And I got chapter 3. I want 1. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed. Yeah, this is the verse I want. With corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. Oh, what love that one would go and die, shed His blood for a wretch like me, so that I might live, so that I might not have to suffer the wrath of God's fire. Jesus Christ is commissioned of the Father. From Him He receives authority to execute judgment of condemnation as well as forgiveness. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And we want verse 49. Luke 12 and 49. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 5. John chapter 5. Verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Judgment unto condemnation and wrath, and judgment unto salvation, life everlasting. Praise God. John 17 and verse 2. One of my favorite verses, one of Brother Francis' favorite verses. As thou hast given him the Son of God, the Father hath given to the Son, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. You see, he has the power of judgment to give life to as many as the Father had given to him. And to the rest, the wrath of God in fire. Well, we'll stop there tonight. Got through that point. Next week we'll continue and we'll be looking at the obedience